So, we'll call the meeting to order, and everyone have the agenda. The first item is the calling to the to order and the roll call, and the time is 5:47 p.m. Pacific Time. All right. And Teresa Allen is here, and Janet Coleman.
Here.
You're still with us? Okay. And I'm here. And Lucette King? Lucette King? Not present. Janice Lane Hewitt? Janice Lane Hewitt? Janice Lane Hewitt, not present. Tracy Rosenberg?
Here.
So we have a quorum. Now we'd want to approve the agenda, and the first item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes. I'm just going to read it for the sake of the recording. Then old business, then the ED search, applications received by the 6/17 deadline, letter to applicants and website update.
Pardon me, Mr. Chair. Shouldn't the third item of business be approved the minutes of the previous meeting? The first item of business is call to order and roll call.
Well, allow me to conduct the meeting, and when I get through it, if you'd like to change that, please do.
Okay.
But let me just go through because I'm reading what we have now. Let me start again. Call to order, Roman numeral 1, approve agenda, Roman numeral 2, approve minutes, Roman numeral 3, old business, Roman numeral 4, A is the ED search, under A, 1 is applications received by 6/17/13 deadline. What I'm doing is simply reading, for the sake of the stream, what is on the agenda. 2, letter to applicants and website update. 3, elimination rounds, first top 10, second top 10, semi-finalists. B, electronic interview recommendations, video conferencing. C, staff handbooks, responses, deadline 5/28. D, report on action items and motions, 5/13/13 meeting. 4, ED position notice to GRC by Teresa. Budget, $3,000 total or additional to PMB Secretary John Crumshaw. Research on video conferencing, Teresa Allen and Janet Coleman. And then a motion that we approve an ED salary range of $90,000 to $100,000 a year be posted with our advertisements, and that the ED search deadline be extended to the June 2013 date of the ad already placed with Career Builders, and I'll give a report on that. New business, staff handbooks, 1, personnel committee members' verification of staff, 2, verified responses then forwarded to PMB, B, ED search, use of video conferencing and or phone conferencing, 4, in-person interviews, 5, travel voucher, $500, 6, next scheduled meeting, Monday, July 8, 2013, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 7, adjournment. So those are the, that is the draft agenda.
Wow, we better begin.
Do we have a motion for approval?
I move that we approve the agenda as you have just read it.
Second.
All right. Okay. Without objection, then, all in favor? Tracy, I guess I'll just ask you if you're in favor, then we'll go ahead.
I'm sorry, what was that, John?
Just if you will approve the agenda.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, great. All right. Now, let's go to the next item on the agenda, which is item number 3. And that is approved minutes 5/13/2013. Now, Teresa did send the minutes out, and I found it. I searched and searched and searched, and it was right there the same day, but it was in Yahoo, so it is there. And are there any, I only responded back, the only change that I noticed was that Teresa and Janet would look into video conferencing, and Skype specifically was not included. It's subsumed under video conferencing, but not named separately. So that's the only change that I would see in the minute. Are there any
And I don't object to that, addition.
It's fine, but it's just I wanted to reflect accurately what it is
that we
had agreed to. That's all. Just wanted to accurately reflect.
Mm-hmm.
So does that meet with everybody's approval, with just that one change to remove Skype and just video conferencing, which subsumes everything? All right. Without objection, then we'll just go ahead and approve the minutes and then remove the Skype reference. I think there are several places where it's there. Now, old business, the VB search. Now, I can provide an update on that. Applications were received through the 6/7/13 deadline. And the applications that I have, and Tracy, here's where you might be able to provide some information that could be helpful. And that would be that I had an original list of 35, and then I sent two snail mail acknowledgments. That was from the previous search. And we have received another 35, and it appears that there are another half dozen or so that Alex Steinberg sent. So it looks to me as if we would have somewhere in the neighborhood of 75 approximately applications.
Wow, that's good.
Yes, it seems to be that we pretty good in terms of the electronic advertising that we got.
Do you have any percentages yet of how where the candidates were coming from, where people were responding?
I don't, but informally I would say that a lot of them came from career builders and then I think Current.
Yeah.
There was something that Brian placed in Current. And
good.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we got anything from either the New York Review of Books or the LA Times.
Mm-hmm.
I can't recall exactly, but we'll have a better chance to look at it if we, as we go through this.
Okay.
Is there anything else about that, Tracy? I'll work with you. I've asked Tracy to take over the technology aspect of our committee work. And, Tracy, you and I can work on compiling that list and making it available to committee members. We can work on that sometime later this week, then?
Okay.
All right, great. Thank you, Tracy.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that anyone would like to say about that first item, applications received by the 617? One other thing, I did get one other application that came in on Sunday. Now, I had spoken with Tracy about this, and Tracy told me that she would like to see, at least to know, who that person was and have the information. I would certainly send the acknowledgement to the person and just say that the deadline was this date, and leave it at that. And then see what happens. We can certainly update it if we feel it's necessary. But seems like
read his resume anyway.
No, I would be inclined, and I'm not sure. Certainly, when I talk to the committee about it, I would be inclined simply to say we know that this person was there. and to say that the deadline was the 7th. We received your application this date. Should the committee decide to expand the pool beyond those who sent in their applications by the deadline, we'll notify you. So we leave it open.
Oh, that's okay.
And this way we go through the ones that we have, and we can
right.
eyeball his and without making any promises
right.
because we could have a date.
Or her.
That's right.
Yeah, forgive me, but it happens to be a him because I saw it, but the person, whoever responds.
The person who was late in responding was a him.
Let me ask you. May I, let me prepare. Were any, you say we have 35 plus 35 and a couple dozen more that Alex gave you. The ones that
not
Alex
a couple dozen,
gave,
maybe a half dozen.
Okay, so 35 and 35 at about six. And those six were the ones that missed the first deadline. Is that what those six are?
No.
No, those six were earlier, and I'm not sure exactly how they came to us. Alex forwarded them to me after the date. So I want to work with Tracy and make sure we understand. There may also be some duplications.
Yes, my next question. Are any of them duplicates, like they applied for the first deadline and they applied again to meet the second deadline?
No, I don't know that either. That's something that I'm going to have to work out when I work with Tracy and figure out who's on that list and create a master list with everybody.
All right, thank
you. So I'll have a better idea then, okay? So, okay, now, is there anything else that anyone wants to say about that 6/7/13 deadline? Okay, so I'm going to send an acknowledgement.
Actually, I do have one other question. Is there
yes.
any point in this meeting where we're going to go into executive session, when we start talking about how we're going to eliminate people or something like that, is that something we need to discuss now, that there's a point at which we might need to go into executive session?
Well, we certainly could. Let me get to the next item, and then the third item there might be something we could consider at that point, Teresa.
Okay.
All right. So, and that's a good point, and we should certainly keep that in mind. Okay. Now, applications received by 6/7/13 deadline. So we've covered that. Now, letter to applicants and website update. I think our website should simply say the job search deadline has been reached. We appreciate those people who applied and thank them for their participation, something like that, something very neutral.
No objection.
We should just make it possible that if we run out of in-person or whatever it is candidates, we know a wider pool of people that has considered, being the executive director of Pacifica. I don't think we should just let these people go. I think the more inclusive we are, the more we have a chance of expanding this organization in a healthy way, frankly.
Yes. Well, what I was talking about, Janet, was simply what we're going to say at the website.
Just so it reflects that mood, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of welcoming people.
Yeah, and we appreciate people who join, but I don't want them to feel that they should continue sending their applications.
Oh, okay, yes, right.
So I was just going to say something that would be fairly neutral and acknowledge that people had applied, the extended deadline has been passed, and we thank the people who participated, and we hope that they will continue checking the
Good.
Website for future announcements.
Great. That's perfect.
Mr. Chair, I move that you do that. Can you ask if there are any objections so we can move on?
Okay, wait a second. It's not necessary to make a motion because I already said that that's what I'm going to do. So, I mean, as long as we're happy with that.
We're happy.
All right. And the letter to the applicants, again, to be a fairly neutral after we go through our conversation tonight about telling them what the process would be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, elimination rounds and so on. Teresa raised the issue of an executive session, and I would like you to talk about the need for that, Teresa, what you see as a reason for that.
Well, I'm assuming that we are going to go through those approximately 76 applications, and we will select maybe, I don't know, I don't know what our terms are, but I don't know whether it is proper for the candidates to know the specifics of how we are eliminating. And since we're on an open session, anyone that listens to this will know the specifics, and I think that could possibly leave us open to nitpicking, if not criticism, of, you know, whether we did something wrong in our procedure. So I'm wondering if that needs to be public.
All right, and the input from other committee members? Janet?
I don't know.
Tracy?
Tracy?
Yes, what are you saying to me? Sorry.
And so do you have any input on the issue raised by Teresa as far as executive session?
I don't have any strong input. No, I'm happy to go with what the majority.
Would you just repeat it one more time, your motion is, Teresa?
My general sense, to be honest, is that we should go into executive session on this committee as infrequently as possible.
Infrequently?
Because infrequently as possible. I think the more we do, I don't know that we're on the stream, but the more that we do on the recording, the less our actions are going to be questioned. And so my preference is that we not go into closed session unless we absolutely, you know, feel that we have no choice. And obviously that's going to happen once or twice, but I want to do it as infrequently as possible, and that's the only input that I have.
John, who is streaming this?
Somebody is. They said so when we started.
It said it was being recorded, but I don't think it's being streamed.
I agree with Tracy on that completely.
That's fine, whatever, but...
It seems to me that the reason that I didn't ask for an executive session is that we've already discussed the parameters, and we're not talking about specifics. We're simply talking about a process that should be as transparent as possible.
Right, fine.
And so what I'm suggesting in the next round, so if you're all right with that, we'll just go on to the next one, which is the elimination rounds. And number three, the numbering got a little messed up later, but number three says elimination rounds. And we had discussed this, that we would have our top 10. We would go through all of the candidates and pick our top 10. Each of us then would submit them. And Janice Lane Hewitt and I spoke, and she said she would do her best to join us this meeting, but she and I can talk again, because she said that something could be done through SurveyMonkey, where we could put that information in and be able to end up with each of us indicating our top 10 choices.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So if we can do that, we
SurveyMonkey.
SurveyMonkey, yes.
Yeah. Great.
So Janice says she knows how to do that, and she could help us set that up. So once Tracy and I have worked out the dynamic of the process, then we can put our preferences in, indicate our first 1 through 10 choices, and we may end up with 60 people, we could end up with 10 people, we could end up with 30 people.
So is this SVT voting?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
It is simply
pretty interesting.
You go through, well, in thinking about how to eliminate with such a large number, you just pick your top 10.
Mm-hmm.
And your top 10
mm-hmm.
gets on the list. And,
yeah,
and
great.
If the person has one vote, that person is on the first elimination list.
Yeah.
then we'll look at the list, and we may decide at that point to do another 10, top 10, or it may become clear that 10 candidates or 20 candidates seem to be up ahead of everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
We may decide at that point that
right.
we have an effect. We made our individual choices, picking the top 10, and now when they're compiled, it looks like a further elimination is possible, and we can end up with a smaller number. So we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, that sounds fine.
And then we would have a group of X number, probably around 10 or 12, perhaps, no way of knowing, semifinalists. And then those semifinalists, we would make arrangements to interview, and we'll talk about how. And then, finally, we would have a group of finalists. And those finalists, we can again talk in committee, and maybe at a certain point, it might be necessary to meet an executive session when we're discussing particular individuals and their situation. But we would probably wait until we got to the finalist round to discuss that.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the elimination rounds. So I'd like to hear from anyone on the committee who would want to.
I just want to ask a question. Do candidates in the generally have a right to demand that their personnel interviews be private, or do we have to get them to agree to be on a public stream? You know, I mean, I'm not really sure who's more in favor of the privacy part of personnel issues.
When I was talking about privacy, I was just talking about things that we feel as a committee might be something we want to talk about in private.
It's just that there are certain rules, aren't there? HR rules about things that you really can't talk about in public.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if that should come up, then at that point we would need to.
Okay. Okay, good.
The executive session.
Okay.
But otherwise, I think they would have to understand that the interviews would be. Well, the interviews would be recorded. Is that right? Interviews
uh-huh.
are recorded.
Yes.
They're archived. They're not available to anyone beyond the committee. When we're talking about, let's say, the semifinals.
Right.
Then when we have the finalists, that would be an open process. We can talk about how, but probably when we have our face-to-face PNB meeting, that would be the time when we would look at interviewing the finalists.
Right.
Well, that is, Madam Mr. Chair, that has been disputed. I mean, I think the coordinating committee has discussed having our next face-to-face meeting in September. Certainly, we're not going to wait until September to do our face-to-face. So that's why I'm assuming that we might want to do them with Skype or some sort of video.
Well, the final meeting, this is something we can certainly talk about, because there are a few items that are going to come up a little bit later under new business. But the timeline and so on is something we'll have to work on and see how it comes out. But as I see it now, it would appear to be the face-to-face meeting in which the finalists would be interviewed.
Well, it's hard to believe that of our 70 people, that they would be willing to wait until September to find out if they have a job and postpone taking another job. I think we could lose a significant number of our candidates between June and September.
I don't know. I don't think so. Summer. How many people are going to get a job of a lifetime like this one?
Well, if they're good, they'll get a lot of, there's a lot of job offers.
No, they won't.
Well, the thing is that I hope that the job offer appeals to people who want to work with Pacifica, and if they see that as an opportunity, like you said, the end of summer, well, then at that time, it's the perfect time to start thinking about what they're going to be doing the rest of their lives.
Right.
And so we hope for a long time commitment.
Right, but if you're a professional and you applied for the job in January and you have a couple of the job offers, you would, I think, seriously have a challenge to take another job offer and not know whether you would be selected for this job until, whether or not you'd be selected until September. Would it be professional or ethical to take another job thinking that you might only hold that job for 4 months?
Whatever the person does with himself or herself to arrange for a slim possibility of a job, you know, it's not our business, really. I think we want to be as inclusive as we can. And this is a way of being inclusive, and it's a way of suiting our own, you know, our own schedule. This is really the way this place operates. And if somebody else is going off to get another job, they're in another, you know, time zone anyway. They just are. Somebody has to be making strategic choices here to be part of this operation, I think. I mean, maybe this is too abstract, but I think it's quite a commitment to sign up to be the executive director of Pacifica.
Okay, whatever.
Well, I mean, you can dismiss it or put your own opinion in. I'd like to hear it, really. Because
if I had a job right now and I was thinking of taking another one, and I cast the net and I found out about three jobs, and I had, let's say I had two job offers right now. Most businesses, if they have a job opening, they're going to be interviewing and selecting somebody within a month or two, not 4 months. We put the job opening out in January, so I don't think it's realistic to expect that they would not even be interviewed until September.
Tracy weighed in, and Teresa, you have weighed in. Tracy, do you want to say anything?
Yeah, I'm going to kind of loosely weigh in on where...
Somebody can't hear you, Tracy.
Sorry, I'm muffled. Hold on. Sorry. Is this better?
Yes.
Much better.
Okay. I apologize. I'm going to kind of loosely weigh in with where Teresa is going on this, I think, if I'm following the conversation, which is that I think that we have to, try to proceed in as deliberate a manner as possible. I think we're going to be opening ourselves to accusations that it favors the incumbent to drag the process out so long that everybody else loses interest.
That's true.
So that's one concern.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our processes are not fast under the best of circumstances. So in a sense, if we start to deliberately drag, I think, you know, there's a point there. And I also think that, you know, the full board can only interview so many people before it collapses, just in terms of time and in terms of energy. So I really do think it's our job to get it down to a pool of reasonable size. I don't think it has to be three. I think it could be five, up to five. But I really think that we have a responsibility to get it down to a reasonable amount, and that we should, you know, do that in a fairly deliberate way. I'm guessing that the final interviews probably wouldn't be until September, but I think we should certainly make tracks to get it down to get the pool together as soon as we humanly can. And, you know, and it's June 10th. So even if we sort of go at it full blast, I don't think we're even going to get it down to a pool of five until, what, the end of July, optimistically?
Let me ask this.
Probably slower.
If you are a professional and let's say you've left your last job and you're looking for a job, do you think that a person would want to be unemployed until September?
I mean, just
look at the last search that we did. Well, I mean, people have mortgages, people have responsibilities, families to support.
No, I agree with you, Teresa, but Pacifica personnel processes are not fast. They're just not. So while I don't want to deliberately drag it out, I do think that the board would prefer to meet the pool face-to-face. And probably that's what's going to happen anyway, because we're going to go through, what, two rounds of interviews? And I think if we go, and I think, you know, with all due deference to everybody's schedule, that's going
to
take some time.
It did not take that long to go through our interviews.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what Teresa said.
Well, that process began in October and it ended in February. So, yeah, you did take that long.
Yeah. And it took even longer because the people weren't even notified of what the salary was. So, you know, I mean,
right.
There were some errors made there that extended the process even longer.
I mean, it's also true that if we move forward and we get it down to a pool of three or five or whatever we're content with as a final pool, if at that point it happens faster than we think it's going to happen, we certainly have the option to try to set something up on Skype with the full board. I mean, we're not, like, closing that off.
Right.
And maybe that's a decision we can make when we see how fast we do the first part. In other words, if it turns out that we've got a pool of three or four or five by the end of July, well, maybe we don't want to wait till September. If it's, you know, August and we're still doing interviews, then it might make sense. So maybe the question kind of answers itself by how fast we do the other parts. Okay, sorry. I apologize. I'm jumping the stack.
Okay, let me just weigh in on the information I have in talking to people who have used Skype or other video conferencing. I have heard from a number of people who interview who are in charge of doing this kind of work, and they say it's absolutely essential that you see the people face-to-face because you're going to have them for a long time, and you have to be able to actually see the person. So the process is going to take whatever time it takes. We can certainly go through it as expeditiously as possible. I think that what I've laid out seems to be a very clear process, and we should be able to move through each step as long as we give each person due consideration. And then we'll just see at that point what happens. As I said, even with the process as laid out, the first 10 and the second 10, as I indicated, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what that pool is going to look like or whether a certain number of candidates will emerge. So we have to start the process and move forward based on what we determine is actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was item 3, EV search. Elimination round, that's simply discussing the process.
Teresa for the stack.
Teresa, go ahead.
I think I can safely say that having been on several of these search committees and from the last one with our CFO, from the time that there was the deadline for the applications, it took us less than a month to come up with the candidates. That's why we had to pay so much money to fly them into the face-to-face meeting in February.
Why?
Because the deadline was like December 31st. We reviewed the people in the first 2 weeks of January. We had our candidates by the end of January, and then they had to get tickets for the face-to-face meeting. So it didn't take us 4 months from the deadline. So But and I don't think it is usual to take 4 months for a person to go from the deadline to submit your application to when you interview them. And I think that a significant number of those people in that time, from June 10th to, for those people that applied for the job at the beginning, until our face-to-face meeting in September, if that's when we have our face-to-face meeting, which I think still needs to be voted on, but I think that we will have lost a significant number of those candidates in that time. So it may remain for some of us on this committee to ask personnel managers how long it takes to select somebody from the time that a deadline is to submit applications to actually go through interviewing. But I don't think it's 4 months. And I won't say any more. Thank you.
Can
for
I
your
be
time.
Honest, Jack?
All right. Yes, Janet?
There is a huge difference between hiring a CFO and hiring an executive director of Pacifica in every way, in tasks and requirements and in everything that constitutes a job search. And I don't think we should confuse them. And I think that this is a really – whoever – chose to apply for this job had some reason to do so. And I think that it's, you know, it's upon us in an almost mission way to really explore why these people came forward to apply. Are they just somebody who needs a job? I mean, and going to go on to another job, or do they have some real connection with this operation? I myself would prefer to see somebody who really had some kind of vision for Pacifica. I mean, who wants to? I don't really want to hear about somebody who can, you know, talk like they may talk to four other companies. This is a nonprofit field, nonprofit radio. I mean, it's so special that whoever applies for it better be special too, and would think of it as something extraordinary. Well, nobody applies for this because they need a. I don't know. Maybe they do because they need a job, but I don't think that's going to be the person.
Okay. Now, is there anything else that anyone would like to add, or can we move on? All right. So we are now at item B under old business, which is electronic interviews, recommendations, and video conferencing. So let's go on with Teresa and then Janet and what you found out about electronic conference and video conference. Shall we start with you, Teresa?
I talked with Bill Crozier, and he sent an email and said it was doable.
Do you have any more specific information about that?
No, but I will, when I get back on my computer, I'll send out his email again.
Okay. I had sent something out having to do with a certain type of Skype account. Did you have a chance to look at that, the Skype premium?
I did not.
Because someone at KPFK showed me, in fact, Jonathan, who came to our PMB meeting, showed me a Skype account that KPFK has, and there is a premium that can be used. I know there may be some other suggestions, but anyway, if you pursue that a little further, that would be good, whatever you can find out there.
Okay.
And then, Janet, how about you?
Well, I've just crossed paths with the person. He was in Honduras. He's back. He just called me yesterday. I still haven't been back to him. I will know something before a couple of days.
Okay.
So I can email you all.
Okay. Great. All right. And that would be fine. So then we'll just say that Teresa and Janet are continuing to look into this, and we'll give an update.
Yes.
Does that sound reasonable, Teresa?
Sounds fine. Thank you.
Okay, sure. Okay, now, Tracy, you also mentioned something about another type of video conferencing. Will you talk about that, please, having to do with Google?
Tracy?
Oh, what was that? I think that what I mentioned, which was not really a different kind of video conferencing, it was just a service that's performed over at the University of California, Berkeley, where they do a lot of video conferencing all over the world, and they have a sort of a service that's available, and of course it's, you know, close to us here in Berkeley and easy for to be coordinated through the national office. And my thought was that it might be a fairly stressless way to set up a multi-city teleconference if we needed to. And I assume it would be at nonprofit rates and with sort of a nonprofit, you know, culture because it's academia, not a .com. So it seemed to me like an entity that we might want to talk to about at least our preliminary level interviews, and if we felt like we needed to do something for the full board that was not at the in-person meeting, it might be a way to set up like a five-city or a six-location teleconference.
Okay. Tracy, would you look into that?
Yeah, I will. I will get their prices and a little bit more information. I'll assume this is for like a preliminary set of interviews is what we would be thinking about now.
Yeah.
So it would be the members of the committee and, you know, X number of candidates.
Right.
Right. And they would be there would be one candidate at a time.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I guess we're all in different cities, right? I'm in Berkeley.
Yeah.
John's in L.A. Teresa's in Houston. Janet's in New York. Lizette's in D.C. And Janice Lane Ewart is where? Minnesota?
Atlanta.
Minneapolis or
Minnesota.
Something?
Okay.
Minnesota.
Right.
Wow. Perfect. The perfect conglomeration.
God. What a mess of a teleconference. Well, I can find out how bad that would be. I don't know for sure, but I'll, you know, I can find out.
Okay.
Well, that's excellent because at least we have someone directly dealing with this issue all the time, and they may be in a better position than others, because they and it is close to the national office, which might provide some advantages.
Right.
Yeah. My thought was that they had some expertise. They do it all the time, and that was kind of what we needed. You know,
so
just tell us if what we're trying to do is logical or not.
Is it Cal, though? Is it a Cal? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. It's through Cal.
Okay, perfect. All right, so then we have the three committee members looking into this, and I better put Janice Lane Ewart as Survey Monkey for our elimination, because she said she would help us with that, and she knows how to do it. Okay, now does that complete the electronic interview recommendations?
Yeah.
All right. Then I'm going to move on to the next part, which is the staff handbooks responses. I must say I have not gotten into it to look at it.
Me neither.
I will look at it by the next meeting, which is Thursday. Now, the process that I talked with Tracy about, which I think makes a lot of sense, would be that when we get the responses, I was trying to get into my Hotmail, and I can't seem to find my password to have to reset it. You know how these things go. Anyway, I will get that done. And then, Tracy, you had suggested a method that I think would work very well, having to do with committee members reviewing the list, because someone could respond and say, I'm a staff member. And then you look, and that person doesn't seem to ring any bells. It's not the person at your station. Now, one thing that Tracy and I have talked about was, should we be able to maybe go to the committee and ask people to check out the names to see if someone's on the list? Should we simply present the list of names at the PNB and ask people to let us know where they're from, if they are a staff member at their station, and identify them so that we could at least have a person taking responsibility for each name on that list? And then we could provide the input to the PNB. Or are there other suggestions? Because this would mean that we wouldn't actually get to the presentation until the June meeting. I mean, the meeting later in the month. So are there any thoughts on how we should proceed once we have that list?
What list are you talking about? The list of suggested changes to the handbook?
Yes, because there was a motion, Teresa, that was made that staff members should reply and have an opportunity to reply. I understand.
And weren't they sending it to an email address that you had?
Correct, and I have not opened that.
I bet no one else has either.
I bet you you're afraid to open it.
Right.
Yes, you can see the fear trembling. I'm telling you, I don't know what I'm going to find. But I'm going to be optimistic that we'll be all right. But the point is that the only thing I can do is to somehow wade through it, because we have no way of knowing if the person who responded is actually a staff member. Now, we could just send the whole list to everybody, all the responses. I mean, I don't know. Any thoughts?
Just send it out to the world and see what they think about this.
No, please. Please, let's not be facetious.
I don't know if I am
already,
facetious.
We already know that some people who were not staff members got this solicitation and made comments.
What?
And,
Yeah, I just wondered what's wrong with that.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Well, because I guess you have to weigh whether or not the suggestion is relevant to the work that we're doing on the handbook. But there were some people, I mean, I would hate to have, let's say, 1,000 people say, how dare you try to control the First Amendment speech rights of the staff and say that they can't just go on the Pacifica Facebook accounts and just say as many negative things as they feel like.
Well, I think they should be able to say as many negative things as they feel like. And I think I feel that to the core.
Well, maybe
and I
that's
don't
why
like the idea. I mean, we fought very hard against the dirty laundry law, I believe, during the coup, and I thought that was part of it. And slowly these kind of corporate controls begin to take root in the organization, seems to become kind of popular. And I don't think they should be popular.
But I think that we're talking about two different things.
I don't know.
One is people who disagree with Pacifica's objectives would certainly welcome the opportunity for everybody just to spend all of their time criticizing Pacifica, and we would never get anything done.
What is there to be done except criticizing Pacifica?
All right, well, okay. You think that's the solution.
It's a big topic. What's wrong with Pacifica? I think it's a serious intellectual topic. So if anybody wants to say what they think, fine with me.
Okay.
It is. It's fine with me.
Well, maybe that's why we can't get anything constructive done. Because we're spinning our wheels saying, well, let's concentrate on what we're doing wrong.
Well, we don't have anything to do. It's the broadcasters who have something to do, really. So all we have to do is make sure that the place is solvent and that the buses run on time. We don't have to, you know, we don't have to control everybody's drawn to this place because there is free speech. And now you want to come up with various ways to find ways that they shouldn't be talking about this corporation that it depends on. I don't really understand even the impulse to shut people down when what you're advertising is a free speech radio station within the limits of, you know, the law.
All right, well, I'm sorry I even brought it up.
May I just say this? Please don't ever be sorry for bringing something up.
If it's important,
please bring it up because that's what we need. We don't need to have everybody in agreement, but we want to hear those voices. So please, Sarita, if you ever have anything that you feel strongly about, please bring it up. Doesn't matter what anyone else thinks about it. And I encourage everyone to do that, please, because that's what we're supposed to stand for.
Well,
hi, John.
I just made a criticism.
Can you hear me saying for the stack? Because I do want to get in here.
No.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Tracy.
I just felt I needed to jump in and say something there because I feel very strongly people should be able to say what they think and not be afraid to speak up.
Okay, go ahead, Teresa. I'll go after you.
No, I'm finished.
Oh, you are? Okay. Was that Janet who wanted? It was someone who wanted to say something else, and I don't want to jump in front.
Was it you, Tracy? I think it may have been you because I did jump in.
Okay, then I'll go. That's fine. On some of this free speech stuff, I guess I want to say a couple of things, which is there's a difference between honest criticism and the ability to distribute untruths, lies, inaccurate facts, twisted around stuff, and basically bullshit, freely and all over the place to advance what are sort of, you know, provincial, personal, selfish goals, largely. And there's a culture here where that happens a whole bunch, and it's contributed a significant amount to why we're insolvent and why we have workplace environments that are litigious, to say the least, and why we have programming that, I don't know how to say this, it doesn't have the degree of flexibility that one might want to see.
What do you mean, revitalization? What do you mean flexibility?
I mean is that when we have the opportunity to do some things programming-wise that might make us more solvent, that might get us some good national publicity, that might be interesting, exciting, new, and different, there's a lot of resistance to pretty much anything.
Is. I mean, we look at the publicity we just fell into. Now, you must deal with this.
Janet, I appreciate it.
Hosts who were hosts of a program called Pursuit of Happiness who committed a dual suicide.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how much publicity this is getting internationally.
Yes, that's
so
correct.
Now,
can I
publicity.
Finish? Can I finish what I'm saying?
Yes,
that's,
I'm sorry.
I mean, you know, that's a fact that people committed suicide. That's not an internal Pacifica action, and it has nothing to do with our policies. It's just a fact that people chose to kill themselves.
Hmm.
I mean, that has nothing to do with people saying something or not saying something. That's a decision individuals made in their lives. It's not the same thing. But what I'm trying to say is we've got really a significant problem with the nature of the dialogue around Pacifica. It's alienating. It's horrifying to an awful lot of people. It doesn't build. It tears down. And if we don't, you know, look at that as adults in terms of where the line is between free speech and the destructorama that we've been doing for the past 5 or 7 years, then, you know, insolvency is what comes out of that. So I don't think it's
it's an either or. And I don't think that failing to grapple with this is really too admirable.
Excuse me, but I'm going to, per point of personal privilege, I have to leave the call.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Teresa, what was that?
I'm done. I'm done.
All
that was the end.
All right, thanks, Teresa. All right, so do we have, Janet and Tracy and I on the call, and there's nobody else, is that right?
No, just the four, right?
Well, did Teresa just say she was leaving?
I don't know.
I thought I heard her say
I don't know,
she was
but
leaving.
I think this is a critical argument, really, and I don't think people should be mad about it. It's really deep, you know.
Well, that's my point about people feeling comfortable about saying what they want to say.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to say. If we let's just do a check-in. It seems to me that Teresa said she was done, and that would appear to me to be that she was leaving the
She was
meeting.
Angry.
Are you still there, Tracy?
Oh, Teresa, I thought. Okay.
Teresa. I wanted to see if Tracy is still with us. Tracy, are you still there?
Well, looks like...
Hello, Tracy, are you still there?
Well, Tracy? Maybe they got mad, I don't know.
Well, I guess you and I, being native New Yorkers, must be used to it.
Exactly.
So I don't know what to say other than I'll just go through the rest of the report that is there then, okay, and
uh-huh.
we'll go from there.
Okay.
So I don't know what happened here, but it seems that when we got to the staff handbook, it appears that Teresa left and maybe Tracy left. I'm not sure.
I think so. Well, they didn't agree with the idea of having less rules about airing dirty laundry, I guess you might call it.
Well, you know, that is a little far afield from what
it
we
is,
were trying
actually,
to do.
But, how do we say it then?
Well, hello, who's that? Who's back with us? Is that
oh,
Tracy?
Oh, that's just Tracy coming back.
Oh, good.
Oh, Tracy, glad to have you back.
Good, we thought you were mad.
No, not a bit. I got a really quick phone call I had to take really fast to just say yes to something, and so I went out and came back. I just didn't want to make a speech about it. Sorry.
Okay, now, I guess Teresa,
no, I'm not mad.
Did Teresa leave? Because that's what I understand. I thought she said she was gone or she was done, and I didn't hear from her anymore. So can we check and see how many people are on the call, if it's three or four? Can someone check?
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Tracy. I think, what do you push, four or something to see how many people are on?
I think if you push #4, it will tell you how many people are on the call.
All right. Will you do that, Tracy?
Yeah.
All right, great.
It didn't work. Maybe it's #4. Let me try again.